God wants to do something for you and I today. Hallelujah. The last time I came around, I think I shared from this particular scripture from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. I want to tease it a little further and look at walking the path of purity. Hallelujah. So please, if you may, kindly turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Welcome to all those worshiping with us online. Great to have you all. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the subject is walking the path of purity. Walking the path of purity. Blessed are the pure in heart, for those people who see God. And sometimes the truth is, when we read a scripture like this, as I was explaining the last time, the view is we will see God one day. That's still true. But this scripture also means that those people will see God in every area of need in their lives. For they shall see God, the purity of heart. Those who are pure in heart, they become an attractive magnet for God to step in to their affairs. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. I'm praying for you in Jesus' name that may you see God not just when we get to heaven, but may you see God daily in your time of need. I'll tell you, there is a time when you will need God. There is a time in your life when you will need God. There are times in our lives when there may be no one around. There could be times in our lives when you can't even share with your wife or your husband what you are going through. Is that true? There are tears that we share that no one sees. The songwriter said, He knows my name, and He hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He will never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. I have a Maker. He from my heart. Even before time began, my life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls. And He hears me when I call. I was sharing with a lady and a gentleman who were brought to me. I was doing some work in Kenya. And this couple were brought to me. And they said, medical sciences, these two couple can't have children. The woman doesn't have the womb to have a child. And they brought this couple to me in a classroom to pray with them. And I told them, the doctors didn't create you. God did. And I prayed with them. They were in tears. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls. And He hears me when I I look at a couple. There was no hope based on medical science. So I prayed and left. The following year when I went, the lady was 7 months pregnant. And the pastor who hosted me said, "Pastor, do you remember this couple you prayed for?" I don't. They brought a lot of people. I prayed with them. But that was a Kairos moment. And so I reinforced the prayer that I prayed. They said, "When you left, the lady took seed." Against the doctors, they didn't understand what happened, but they don't need to understand God. Long story short, I came back to UK and they sent me a photo with the baby. Sent me a photo. You know why I'm sharing this? I'm sharing this for you to understand that there is a requirement in our lives for purity. It is against the principles of God to bless anything on a cursed ground. If you read Genesis chapter 4, the Bible said the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. God respects you first before what you bring. And so I want to encourage all of us today, purity of heart is not a desirable, it's essential. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God in their circumstances. They shall see God in their family life. They shall see God in their time of need. And we will ultimately see Jesus one day. The greatest reward of a Christian is Jesus himself. And one day we shall see him. I say one day we shall see him. What does purity of heart mean? It doesn't mean perfection. Because our perfection is only in Christ. It doesn't mean that. So just in case, you think, "Oh yeah, I've got to do everything by the book." We march towards it. And we get there by grace. Hallelujah. What it does mean though, is a life that is devoid of guile, a life that is devoid of mischief, a life that is devoid of deception, a life that is devoid of wickedness. You must not have anything of any of this in your life. A pure heart is a prerequisite for good worship. God will not receive worship. It is against the principles of God to come down and inhabit any worship on a corrupt ground, in a corrupt heart. Cain and Abel, they both had the same offering. They both gave offering to God. God received one, God would receive the other. If heaven was to descend right now with a scan on your heart, what will God see? A pure heart or an impure heart? Please turn your Bibles with me to Psalm 24, verse 3 to 5, King James. Who shall ascend, Psalm 24, 3 to 5, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? That's a question. And who shall stand in his holy place? That's a question. He gives you the answer in verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He gives a definition of the one with the pure heart. With that ambiguity, it's very, very clear there. Verse 4, he that has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. There are people who can swear an oath and lie with no conscience. It is in our generation that scripture has been fulfilled, that many are indeed called, but few are chosen. You belong to one. It's only you who can tell where you belong. You see how you're quiet on me? As soon as I finish, I'm just... out of here so I can preach. Can I preach? How many of you want to go to heaven? How many of you want to see God one day? Let me tell you, listen, you can't escape this topic. You can't. Even if you wish, you can't. Purity of heart is an essential prerequisite to see God show up in your affairs. I'm telling you, a time will come you will see God. You will need God. I was sharing in the first service a week ago. I was called to the intensive care unit of one of the hospitals in the Southwest, quite a specialist hospital. I was just in a high Lord. So I was just driving down. I want something, just going to pray with this member. When you show, for those of you in the medical field, when you go to an intensive care unit and you see how human beings are surrounded by gadgets, you will know that you need God when you are there. You will know that you need God. Let me tell you, that's not a time to want to get your heart right. That's not the time you want to get your heart right. Sometimes, some of the things, even when you're a pastor and you get into the intensive care, you yourself, you are afraid. You are afraid. By faith, we're praying. Lord, make a way. Step in. Lord, make a way. Step in. That same night, I left that place. That gentleman was downgraded from the intensive care to the main ward. She was moved from intensive care to the main ward. We're trusting God that this week he will come out. Listen, it is time for Christians to be serious with God. Are you listening to me? It is time for Christians to be serious with God. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall ascend unto the... Who shall come here and be singing and lifting up praises to God? Who shall come here and be standing in front of the church to preach the word? It must be the one with clean hands, pure heart, who has not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. What is that blessing? That blessing is Matthew 5:8. They will see God. I pray for you that you will see God. That in your time of need, may you see God. Some of you are here today and you can testify that if it had not been for the Lord who stepped into that situation of yours at the time that he did, at the time that he did, at the time that there is a time, the Bible says the vision is for an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It proves not false. It said, though it tarries, wait for it. It shall certainly come. It shall not delay. Tell your neighbor, be patient with God. There is time for everything. Until that time comes, it has not come. Don't run ahead of God. And don't give up on God. Your job is to stay. Stand still, believe God, and trust him to come true. Oh, God will test you. For God to trust you, he will test you. God never trusts anybody he has not tested. If you go and check with Abraham. Abraham was scrutinized and vetted by God himself. When he passed, they said, God said, by myself have I now sworn that in blessing I will bless you. Pure heart. They took Joseph and threw him into the pit. There was no savior, but by supernatural intervention, because of a clean heart, God dispatched some people. They were called the Ishmaelites. Out of nowhere, they were just passing by that place. May God send you help when you are in time of need. Those Ishmaelites didn't come an hour after, 2 hours after. They came just as Joseph was running out of breath. Many are there that say, my soul, there is no hope for me. But you, O Lord, you are a shield unto me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. It is written, we are killed all the day long and are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all this, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing shall separate somebody with a pure heart from the love of God. Nothing shall separate them. Purity of heart attract divine help in time of need. I pray that God will give us in the name of Jesus. I said in the name of Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. New Living Translation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with his inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from iniquity. All who belong to the Lord must turn away from iniquity. The Lord knows those who are his. My question to you, are you his? Are you his? The Bible says he knows those who are his. Are you his? It's only you who can answer that question. It is only you who know the places you go in the night and nobody is watching. It is only that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And to them, he will show them his covenant. In Exodus chapter 1, there was a certain time that Pharaoh brought out a legislation. And that legislation was this. Kill all the male-born Hebrew Jews, the Hebrews. Kill all of them because they were afraid that they would outnumber the Egyptians. But in Exodus 1:17, I believe, the Bible said there were some midwives who would not respond to that legislation because of the fear of God. Because of the fear of the Lord. Do you know why? They had a clean heart. They had a clean heart. In Acts chapter 5, I think verse 19 or 16, 19, the Bible said, Peter and the apostles were forbidden from preaching the gospel. And Peter said, we must rather obey God than man. I'm telling you, a time will come when your trust, faith, and confidence in God will be tested. That is the time that God is depending on you and I. In this wicked world, in this wicked generation, the Bible says the integrity of the upright shall sustain them. God is waiting for some generation. I believe that there are some remnants on this earth today who will say no to darkness. Who will say, let the light of God shine on earth. Lord, use me, Lord, even in this filthy vessel. I'm trusting you, oh God, Lord, that you will come through for us. Oh, yes. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he does meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. His fruits shall not wither. Whatever he does, the Bible says, it shall prosper. I pray that whatever you do, may it prosper. And may the Lord grant you a pure heart. I said, may the Lord grant somebody a pure heart in the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus. Purity of heart. God is looking for people who will walk in this world with a desire for purity. And I'm praying that you will be one of his. Hallelujah. It is in the church today that we are serving God from a dirty plate. When you go to your kitchen, you, a human being, when you go to your kitchen, do you take dirty plate and serve food in your dirty plate? The plate that your children have eaten and put in the sink, will you go and take that and bring that and dish food in it? I'm telling you, that's how we are serving God now in the church. We go out here, go live anyhow, come back to the church on Sunday, come and hold microphone that we are singing and glorifying who? God. It is the mercy of God that receives our worship. Because some of us don't have respect for sanctity. We have lost it. And the pastors can't talk about it anymore. We can't preach it anymore. Because when we preach, the people will leave the church. When we preach, they will leave the church. They will leave the church. As for that thing, I have prepared myself for it. I have prepared myself. That I'm telling you truth, that you are actually leaving the church because of truth. May the Lord forgive you. May the Lord forgive you. May the Lord forgive you. There will be some people who will not compromise this gospel. Do you know that this gospel that I'm talking to you about, somebody gave his life for this? Do you respect that? Do you know that somebody on Golgotha and the Calvary cross, he stood there in agony. They spat on him. They brutalized him, slapped him. And ultimately, the Bible said he gave up the ghost. Do you know how Peter was killed? Do you know how Apostle Paul died? For us today to live and compromise this Christianity, may the Lord forbid. And may the Lord help us. As many of you who want to live that pure life, I pray for the special grace of God for you. That in this end time, we are turning closer and closer to the return of Jesus. As we turn closer and closer to the Antichrist, the rapture is imminent. But there will be true remnants of Jesus who will say no to darkness and they will say yes to light. They are on this earth still. There are people on this earth like that. May you be one of them. I say, may you be one of them. In the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, don't serve God in a dirty plate. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything that is stopping you from faithful service to God? That most likely is impurity. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things are lawful. Even what is wrong, people can argue it to be right. In the world in which we live today, the 10 scriptures to favor them. I've learned not to argue certain things. The scripture is clear. If you want to believe, believe. If you don't want to believe, that is fine. You and I, we shall stand before the bema seat of Christ and we shall give an account of what we did with the blood that was shed for us. May we give a good answer on that day. I say, may we give a good answer on that day. I'm talking to you as well, all those on the top here. Are you listening to me? I say, may we, I'm talking to all of you. May we give a good answer on that day. Your soul is important to us. Your soul is important. Do you know that the church has become one of the most dangerous places to go? I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. And I asked them a question in the first service. Why is it that there is many Christian activities and less spirituality? Answer that question for me. I want to hear you give me an answer. It is in our generation that they are doing conference here. When you go to Excel, there's another Christian conference. You go to another church, there's another one. You go to South London, there's another one. There is another one, but there is less spirituality. Why? Why? I'll tell you the answer. It's this topic. Our heart is not right. Our heart is not right. But while men look at the outward, God only looks at the heart. That's why he said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Temptation is not sin. Temptation in itself is not sin. It's your responding to the temptation that makes you sin. Because if temptation was sin, Jesus would have sinned too. But he responded to that. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that when you are tempted at that point of temptation, the Holy Spirit himself will step in for you. I said the Holy Spirit himself will step in for you in the name of Jesus Christ. I said in the name of Jesus Christ. I said in the name of Jesus Christ. God will help us. I said God will help us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, New International Version. Proverbs chapter 6. There are six things the Lord hates. How many things the Lord hates? Six things. Seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes and a lying tongue. It's defining these things now, just in case you don't know. He's spelling them out for you and I. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil. Verse 19, a false witness who pours out lies and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. These people, the Bible says, the Lord hates. If you do any of these things, your heart is not right with God. But I want to zoom in on the verse 18. The verse 18 was very specific. You see, how many of you know zoom? Zoom, like it makes it big. Zooms out a heart, verse 18, a heart that devises wicked schemes. I'll share with you a case study shortly about this one. Do you want to know? A heart that devises wicked schemes. They come and present red, but they are actually green. I pray that when you find such people, may the Lord dispatch upon your life the spirit of discernment to read between the lines in the name of Jesus. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Joseph, an innocent brother, was only sharing his dreams with his brothers. I had a dream, and this is what God did. That was all. You guys are my brothers. I'm just sharing with you. As soon as he finished sharing the dream, this scripture came alive in some of the brothers' heart. A heart that devises wicked schemes. They began to now plot how they will eliminate him because of the blessing. But how many of you know that you can't curse who God has blessed? You can't do that. You can't curse who God has blessed. You can't. Look, when you see a mighty tree and you want to shake it, be careful. When you see a big tree there, go to the tree and try and shake the tree and we will see who will shake. Go to the tree and tell the tree, you are too big. I don't like your prosperity. And try and hold the tree and try with all your power, shake the tree. how many of you think the tree will shake and fall down? If you are not careful, you may end up in intensive care. Do you know what? When God is on somebody, leave the person alone. If you can't help them, just leave them. But to try to sabotage them and throw Joseph into the pit, God would dispatch the Ishmaelites. And as if it wasn't enough, Potiphar's wife was trying to play some schemes. But because of the pure heart that Joseph had, Joseph said, how can I do this and sin against a holy God? I'll be going to the church to lead worship. I'll be going to the church to preach. I'll be going to minister to somebody. How can I go now and be a hypocrite? And I'm preaching to them purity. And me, myself, I am not a pure person. Where is the fear of God? In the church today, we are quick. When you see the rate of envy in the church, it is shocking. When you see the wickedness that is being perpetuated among believers, when we are those who have the commandment, Scott mentioned the scripture, John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another, that by this, by what? By the love that you have for one another, shall all men know that you are my disciples. Now we are those who are not showing forth that scripture. And then you get up on Saturday, you say you are going to witness. You are going to evangelism. But the person you are going to witness who heard you talking about another brother to them. So how are they judging us? Let me show you something. Come with me to John chapter 12, verse 1 to 6. Are you with me so far? Are you okay at the back? Those are the, give me a wave at the top. Oh, you are alive. Wonderful. John chapter 12. I know messages like this don't tick, but it is all right. I can handle that. Tell your neighbor, the pastor can handle that. I'm used to it, you know, honestly. Help us, Lord. John chapter 12, New King James Version. John chapter 12. The Lord will help us. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, who he had raised from the dead. Verse 2. There they made him supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with their hair, with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was the fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. He used to take what was put in it. That makes him a thief, doesn't it? Now let me amplify that through verse 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, then Mary took the pound of very costly oil. Can I hear someone say very costly oil? It was very, very expensive oil. Mary recognized that Jesus deserves the best. There are some people who only give to God some leftover coins. Maybe that's God speaking to you right there. God never takes anything from us. And he deserves nothing but our best. Amen? So if you want to give to God properly. Amen? But what happened here? Mary took a pound of very costly oil and poured it at the feet of Jesus. Verse 4, but one of his disciples, he didn't leave us hanging there. The Bible identified who this person was. Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him later. He was telling us, the scripture is spelling out his CV. Who he is, right? But watch this. Verse 5. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This is a very, very good suggestion by the mere look of it. He was saying, this oil is very expensive. Why would you pour it on just one person's feet? Why don't you take this and go and sell this? Let us get money and use the money to feed the homeless and to do this and to do that. Isn't that a good mission project? But watch what happened in verse 6. Verse 6 says, this he said. Who said? Judas said. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He said what he said, which was right. But he said it not because he cared for the poor, because he wanted money to steal. So he's giving the right reason, but with the wrong motive. Watch out for people who come and tell you one thing, but their motive for telling you that is something else. There are people in our world like that. They will come and sugarcoat something for you, enticing you, wanting you to believe a narrative that is right, and yet their motive is wrong, is mischief. May God expose. expose their heart to you. That's what Judas was doing. That's what he was doing. He was saying one thing, but actually means something else. Your motive, I said in the first service, tray. You know, tray for food. I like eating food in a tray. I put a tray in a plate in it on a tray, and then I take my tray. When I finish, I put my tray back. I like eating in tray. Motive is the tray that explains your desires to God. You can't hide your motives from God. And God judges us on our motives, not our actions. If your action is right, as Judas was, is it wrong to give money to the poor? No, it's not wrong. It's a right thing. But the motive behind that was wrong. God will judge that one. But even if your action was wrong, but your motive is right, you will get repentance from God. Write this down. God judges our motives, not our actions. Do you know why? Because the motive synchronizes with what is in your heart. And what is in your heart is what God is looking at. It's not your actions. Sometimes we can come out wrong. But if our heart is right, we got it right in the eyes of God. For God does not see as man see it. For as man looketh at the outward, God looks at the heart. May the Lord help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, may the Lord help us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wrong voices in your life can create in you an internal structure that promotes bitterness. It promotes bitterness. It promotes resentment. Some of you belong to some friendship networks that because, look, if your friend is wrong, right? Two scenarios here. You can either influence them to the right path or they can bring you along and corrupt your mind to their place. It's going to take you time and cost to get them to be right. Because you could risk even not getting friendship anymore with them. Are you with me? And some of you don't want to lose those friendships, so you aid and abet a lie. All of you are corrupt in the eyes of God. If you can't tell a friend that he is wrong, and use scripture as the basis of that, then you are aiding and abetting. And that is not acceptable by God. Let me tell you, whether you like it or not, Hebrews 9:27 will catch up with all of us. The Bible said, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. Whether you like it or not, all of us will stand before a holy God, and we will give an account of what we did with our lives. I pray that that day will not find you wanting. That's the purpose of this message. And today God wants us to have a pure heart. God wants us to clean our house so that he can come and dwell there with us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, New Living Translation. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, peace. Enjoy the companionship. Are you listening? Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Enjoy. Don't run away from it. What they are telling you is hard. Somebody left our church a year ago. I don't think she should have left, but she did. That's fine. 2 weeks ago, she called me. Want to have a meeting with me? I said, yes. I said, Pastor, I want to come back. I said, we didn't ask you to leave. She's back now, serving. I told her truth. She couldn't handle it. She left me. left the pastor for truth and ran away. But we still showed her love because I have nothing to hide. The love that Scott was talking about in John 13 over the year proved to her that we meant no harm. She came back to the truth. She is in church today. I didn't entice her to come. She came by herself. Tell your neighbor, it's the prodigal son. One day you will come to yourself and you will realize that a holy father is waiting for me. And the hands are still open, ready to welcome me. Oh, yes. The father had a clean heart. The son didn't. The prodigal son didn't. The Bible says he went away with friends. He was not enjoying the companion of righteous people. He went out with fools until the Bible said he began to eat the food of pigs. Your father in the palace with fried rice and jollof and chicken. And you are now eating pig food. And but the Bible said he came to himself. I pray for somebody today that you will come to yourself and realize that I need a holy heart. I need a pure heart before a holy God, before whom I will stand one day. I dread that day when I stand before that God who gave everything he did for me, that I will betray the confidence that he had in my salvation. When I said to him once upon a time, not come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me. God will help us. He said we should run away from anything that stimulates wrong desires. God will help us. I say, may the Lord help us. Amen. 2 Samuel. Chapter 11, verse 2, NLT. Late afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking her bath. Please read the context of the story of the text. King David was at the wrong place. Israel was at war. He has left the army fighting, and he was on the rooftop enjoying the looks of some ladies. Until what he saw, he couldn't resist it. May the Lord protect and order your steps from places that you will go that will entangle you and separate you from the God of grace. That's what happened. I suppose David had not read this scripture from Job. Job chapter 31, verse 1. Job chapter 31, verse 1. Job chapter 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. I have made a covenant with my eyes. You see some people, they go to the supermarket and then they see a lady. They are going this way, and then they see a lady walk. You are going in, and they look until they hit the what do you call it? What do you call the thing? What's the name of the aisle? Okay, you know it. Job said, "I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not look at a woman lustfully. As soon as I see." It is in our generation that now when we see it, we turn and look and watch until we hear the police siren. Wee, 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 wee. Are you happy you came to church today? I have made a covenant with my eyes. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed. Job knew that and said, I have made a covenant with my... You are a married man. You've got ring on your... you have promised God before the church that in death will you do part according to God's holy law. There you are giving the church and God your promise. And then 1 month after your marriage, you are looking around on the train. You are looking around at the airport. Aren't the women the same? My uncle said they are all the same. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Church, there are certain things believers should not be engaging in. And that's why God is bringing us today this word for us to have a pure heart. The things we see, the things we hear, the places we go, the associations we keep are all great determinants of a pure heart. Thank you.